Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever known any dangerous people? I had a classmate back in grade school who was dangerous. If you hung out with him, you were sure to get into trouble, because he was always up to no good. Today and throughout the summer, we are going to take a look at another dangerous person. His name is Jesus. And he is perhaps the most dangerous person who ever lived, because he challenged people to live contrary to the ways of the world. And whenever you go against the prevailing flow, you put yourself in danger. In danger of standing out, in danger of being ridiculed, in danger of being persecuted. In fact, Jesus' message in life was so dangerous and so radical that it eventually got him killed. And it promises us a similar fate if we truly take his words to heart. But if we listen to him and we follow him and we love him, he promises us a reward in heaven that will be great. What we receive from God in heaven will far exceed anything that we will have lost on this earth. And so today we begin our first look at Jesus' first recorded sermon, known to most of us simply as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, but a sermon that we will look at under the theme of the most dangerous sermon ever preached. Our text today is the dangerous opening words of that great sermon, verses 3 through 12, again known to most of us as the Beatitudes. I'd like to read again. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In these words, Jesus flips the world as his hearers know it on its head. For you see, the Greek word makarios, which we translate in this text as blessed or blessed, was originally used in the Greek world to refer to the wonderful state of being of the gods. Later, it was used by the Greeks to describe the freedom of the rich from the normal cares and worries of life. But now, Jesus is saying that it is the mourners and the meek and the merciful who are blessed. They are the ones who are free from the cares and the worries of life. His words must have completely left the people scratching their heads, wondering what in the world was he talking about. Because in the world, as his hearers knew it, in the world as we know it, it's the rich and the famous and the powerful who appear to be the most blessed. I mean, in the world in which we function, nice guys finish last, and only the strong survive, and to the victor belong the spoils. Survival of the fittest is not just a phrase to us, it is reality to us. And that's for Jesus to start off his first big sermon with these nonsensical statements was ludicrous. And it was also dangerous. Because you see, he risked losing his hearers before his ministry even got off the ground. But he didn't lose them. In fact, just the opposite thing happened. The more he spoke, the more people wanted to hear him speak. Because even though his message was radical, it was also filled with hope. Hope that the masses desperately needed to hear in their lives of oppression and their lives of poverty. Never before had they ever been told that they were blessed and that they would be rewarded for being the kind of people that were stepped on by the rich and the powerful. And so they wanted to hear more of what Jesus had to say. St. Paul would later write in his letter to the Corinthian Christians that God chose the foolish things of this world and the weak things and the lowly things and the despised things so that no one would ever have room for boasting before the Lord. The poor in spirit and the peacemakers and the persecuted are blessed because these are the people whom God seeks out to be the instruments of his glory. These are the people whom God will claim for eternity. And thus Jesus states in verse 12 of Matthew 5 text, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. To be a follower of God, one must be an imitator of Jesus, who was meek and merciful, who was pure of heart and a seeker of righteousness, who was willing to be persecuted and ostracized and ridiculed in the name of his Father. And such a person is the one whom Jesus said would be blessed. That's the person who would live free from the worries of this world. Because that's the person to whom God will give the gift of everlasting life. But following Jesus under these terms is a very dangerous discipleship. It's virtually guaranteeing that your life in this world is going to be harder than it needs to be. Actually, it's not virtually guaranteeing it. It's absolutely guaranteeing it. And that's why Jesus stated in the book of John's Gospel, he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And indeed, he has overcome the world by dying on a cross to bear our sin, to give us forgiveness, and by rising from a grave to give us the gift of everlasting life. The assurance of the reward that Christ Jesus has won for us through his suffering and his death and his resurrection, that's what gives us our blessedness. That's what gives us our freedom from the normal cares and worries of this life. And because of that, what Jesus did through the cross and through the empty grave, we can, for his sake now, place others before ourselves. We can allow others to get the best of us. We can do the right thing even though it costs us more. We can swallow our pride and make peace with and forgive those who have wronged us. We can willingly and quietly accept the insults and the lies of others against us. And we can graciously and humbly endure whatever injustice comes our way. You see, we can do that because the one who resides in us through faith in our hearts did that. And he promised to be with us and to strengthen us and finally to reward us. Too many Christians want to believe that the way of Christ is a way of temporal favor and worldly blessing. I cannot say these words strongly enough. It is not. The call to follow Jesus is dangerous. It's a call to come and die. To die to self and to live for him. But while it may not be a guarantee of this life's blessings, it is a guarantee of a blessed life. A life that is free from worry. Because it is a life that has been promised a heavenly reward. May we each, with our eyes fixed on that eternal reward, live lives of this dangerous discipleship for the sake of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.